David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi. Today, I'm very excited because we have a very, very special guest today on our show. Her name is Laura Berkey, and she is a thought and behavior coach. And today, she has a really interesting topic she's going to tap into, and it's about the power of words. And she's going to explain to you why words are so powerful and how they affect our lives. So, Laura, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show. Can you tell people a little about yourself and what you do?
Yeah, hi, Stacey. A little bit about me is I have been a thought, behavior, and communication coach for the last 3 decades, actually. And I was kind of early on in the coaching scene and industry. And I retired my private practice last year. And what I do now is I go around and I speak to groups, organizations, and podcasts, and share and illuminate to people the power in their words.
Yes.
The power in them. And what I have come to see after so many one-on-one dialogues with so many people over the years is there are words, and these are mundane, normal, seemingly no big deal words that I'm talking about. Because a lot of people will say, oh, a powerful word is joy, empowerment, love. And I'm like, hey, those are great words, but I'm talking about words like how. And decide and clear. Those are the power words. And so I started to see this in my work. And as time went on, it was undeniable, the pattern of when people, when I just listen to their story or listen to their challenge or their success, and I'm like, okay, so that word keeps showing up in the experience of how one gets to success or how one blocks from success.
Right.
So, you know, I enjoyed more coaching with that. And then it was just time. It was time for me to go get this message out to more people than one person at a time.
Right.
So I do that. And then I also work with couples. And it's not marriage therapy or counseling. It is, I coach couples to relate and to communicate, to actually know how to do that. Mm-hmm. And key in that is looking at their patterns and looking at the structure that they have built. They have co-created, but unknowingly and unwittingly. And so this is what I do now, is travel around and give workshops and share this information.
I love it. Now, when it comes to the power of words, you know, what do you see a lot of people like when it comes to, because I would believe, too, it also affects the mind. You know, the words we use are really the words we feel inside about ourselves. And, you know, when it comes to the words, what words should people try to pay attention more to and try to focus on so they can try to really change their mindset and improve their overall way of thinking and actually functioning as a person? Because our words are really powerful and they play a huge role in our lives, I would think.
Oh, they do. And before I answer that, because I do, I've got four right away, four words that you should stop using and what to use instead. But if you don't understand kind of like something I want to share first, then you kind of miss like, well, why do those words matter?
Yeah.
And so if you imagine, for those who are listening and not watching, but if you like imagine a stick figure and you are that stick figure. And for those who are on video and can see, it's like most people operate from here. Their head. Right. And that's okay. That's a valuable, important part of our beingness and our ability to create. And so, but our head, it is where the thoughts, the consciousness, the thinking occur.
Right.
Okay. So touch your head. Okay. I've got this. And that's usually where it all begins.
Right.
It does. And then every thought, anything that you're aware of, you're present to, that you see, or that you think about, will be triggered by the body. The body will be triggered by it.
Yes.
Okay. So the body will have some kind of reaction to that. And this is what most people don't know. And so I was like people, I call this the one page manual.
Yeah.
You have to know thyself. So first you just need to know how you work. I have thoughts. Most people do not know. They think some of the time this happens. No, it's all of the time. You think a thought and it will trigger an emotion or a feeling in you.
Yes.
And that could be an impulsive feeling and a feeling of excitement and a feeling of let's go and energy or whatever. And it could also be it triggers an old memory. Oh, that one time when I was 7.5 years old and my teacher kept me after school and you had some really unkind words with me. And then my parents came in and picked me up and then all the other stuff. So we have a thought. It will naturally, whether you're aware of it or not, it'll trigger an emotion, feeling, and then it doesn't stop there. Your feelings and emotion that are now running, and it could be more than one at the same time through your body and your head. So now they're kind of like, so it's kind of like the body grabs the thing and like we're together now. But then your body follows the mind. The body follows the mind. So when it's true there, you had a thought and it triggered an emotion or feeling, but the body, the behaviors and actions we take are dictated, determined, and decided. Those are very powerful words. Think of any time I think about somebody who dictates, that's power. Think about anyone who's made a decision, that's powerful. You told me earlier before we started recording that I decided to have a podcast, and look what happened. Deciding is a very powerful word and determines. Well, when you have a feeling, the body dictates, decides, and determines what it's going to do in behavior and action. So that's why, so that's how you work, period, the end. And so this is why I like to point that out first is, and this is just referring back to the stick figure. If you could, see, and this is how I teach people, write the word thinking and thought next to the head, draw a heart on your stick figure, and then write emotions and feelings next to that. And then draw hands and feet, and then write actions and behaviors next to those. And that is, and just understand that is how you work. Now, any questions about that before I kind of go right into some fun words to know about?
No, I love it because it makes me think about when you said that, it's like you ever listen to music and music will be a trigger, and then it will the music will bring thoughts into your head, and immediately the emotions start coming and the thoughts start coming, and you can go from being at happy to sad right away just because of a song, whether it's the melody, whether it's the words in the song, but most likely it's the words in the song. But it's like it can, words can be so powerful and they can just change your whole body and the whole way you feel and think and react at that moment.
Yes, they can. And that what you just described is a very common experience that people can have, and it feels, and it really is, it happens unto them. You were having a great day, whatever. You got ready for the day, you get on the road to go wherever you need to go or whatever, you turn on, and then you hear a song from your high school era. And it's a song that triggers emotions and feeling, and then all of a sudden, this big shiny balloon that you were all inflated and ready for the day seems a little bit kind of like wilted and wrinkly and like not as inflated, right? That happens a lot already. Like it just happens unto us. But you can reverse engineer this. You can be very purposeful and say, let's use your music example. Surely, well, I would imagine you'll relate with this. There'll be days where I'm like, oh my God, the kids are gone, they're out of the house, and I have the house all by myself. So I'm gonna put on some Cher or put on some music, whatever, some power female songs or whatever, and I'm gonna make a hot, yummy cup of coffee, and then I'm just gonna have the day to do it, cook or to do what I want. And I have taken control of that, knowing that those songs were gonna, incite or invoke something in me that was gonna feel good and give me the energy and the creativity and and stimulate me to be like, okay, here I go, and I've created my own reality, so to speak. I fully created that, right?
I love it.
Can you relate with that?
Oh, I could definitely relate with that for sure. Now you
That's
said
why we make playlists.
yes, it is. And it affects you completely. Like it could energize you. It can make you really happy. You can go from one emotion to the next, all because of words, that are in a song, and it just triggers either old memories or just, things that have happened, or so many different aspects. But you had mentioned that there were a couple of things that you wanted to refer to about words.
So let's get real mundane here. Something that happens nearly on the daily. And that is, you'll think about something that you're putting yourself up to, or somebody's put you up to, work or home. And part of your thinking about it might be, now how am I going to do that? So maybe for the first person who's a first timer, writing a book. How am I ever going to get this book written? And how then will I sell it? They'll ask that question, right? In their goal setting or in their planning. And then it could even be, I've got, tons of people coming over this summer and I've got to get this house kind of, how people will do that. House all perfect and ready for the big family reunion. And then, like, how on earth am I going to do all this? Whether it's how am I going to afford it? How am I going to actually just manually do this? So they'll ask the word how, which seems logical, and it's so habitual. And that word actually typically creates a downtick in what you would actually want or need in anything you're pursuing. Energy, enthusiasm, courage, certainty, confidence. The moment you say how, you've really kind of pulled yourself down, or added, a 50-pound weight to your climb up the mountain. Does that make sense to you?
It does. It
Can you
does.
relate with that?
Oh, 100%. 100%.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
So people will do this and then they wonder, and they'll wonder, or they won't wonder. They'll start to do things like, well, I'm a procrastinator. I just never get anything done. Or, you know what? This is just me. I'm lazy. My parents always called me lazy and they're right. Or they'll start using words like, well, it's just hard. And that's another one of my words. It's just hard to get it all done. So, how, sticking with how, is not an optimal word to use. Sometimes it is. So I'm not, when I offer these words, I'm not saying never, ever, ever use them. I'm saying be deliberate and intentional with the words that you use. This would be the let's turn a corner, everybody, and let's do it a different way now. Instead of just speaking and speaking and talking and thinking that I just got to get the message out, let's do it a little bit differently. What we want to do is maintain our well-being. And that does not necessarily mean perfect temperature, perfectly hydrated, and you got all your vitamins. That's not what I mean by well-being. I mean, I feel well. My beingness here, I'm in a well state of mind. That's what I mean by that, right? Okay, so how? Here's what happens. So what I think most people do and what I've noticed is they'll use the word how, and it's purely from the neck up. Makes sense, it's logical, it fits with good communication, people understand it, so they'll use the word how. What's happening neck down, which takes a whole lot more real estate and has a whole lot more energy, which is what we are, it's what we require. What happens when you use the word how, and I speak a lot in metaphors. So you remember the fairy tale of the, and I don't really remember this one, like I was ever read it front to back, but there's the story of the needle in the haystack. I don't know what that story is, but I just know that part of the story. And so imagine though, if there was a big stack of hay outside your front door and somebody said, oh yeah, like go get that needle. And just the, and it's not like underneath, it's somewhere in the haystack. Now feel your body. Feel what your body's doing when you think, I gotta go find that needle that's in this, 3 foot high or 6 foot high stack of hay. Like different parts of your body are going off,
Oh yeah.
right? So
Definitely.
that's what the word how basically does. When typically it's like, oh, how am I gonna do it? You're not feeling energized, motivated. You're just not. You're feeling like, oh, I don't know. Is there some insecurity that would, so it's a very slight, very easy switch out. Now take how as a much lesser word I use. I use it now for, oh, you want to know how to make my grandma's favorite brown best brownies? I'll show you how to do that. Start using it in a much simpler way, and instead switch it out for the word ways. So if I go back to my examples, so yeah, I'm going to write a book. Well, what are some ways I can get that finished? What ways I can get that started? What are some ways I can sell it? What are some ways I can get that to hit number one on the bestseller list? And when I say that, even just you listening to me, because it's you and I here, like, do you notice your body, that landing on your body different? And what do you
100%.
notice when you hear that?
So when you said the word how, and then you mentioned a needle in a haystack, all of a sudden I could feel frustration, anxious, like I was like, because the words like just I was picturing the haystack and I was picturing the needle. I'm like, how am I gonna find that needle in the haystack? Like it was just like a thought question that popped in my head as you were saying it. I was picturing myself and you could feel like the frustration. You could feel the anxiousness. You could feel the, this is going to be impossible. I can't do this, and that puts you in a totally different dimension where now you go from being positive, I can do it all, to like, no, this is not positive. I can't accomplish this. This is too hard for me. And then you go from being an achiever to being to an underachiever, all because you're the way you're thinking in your brain.
Yeah. And it does, if we choose to go here, it then that just using how is like the first domino to hitting a whole lot of other disempowering word choices.
Right.
You say way, well, let me think of some ways I could do this.
Yeah.
What, like, either do you relate with that? Like, I know that I've done that, Laura, or here's what I felt that kind of seemed different than when utilizing the word how.
I get when I say the word ways, I start to feel hopeful and I start to feel like there's a chance. Oh, yeah, definitely. There are ways. And then I feel more positive and positivity comes over me.
Yeah. For me personally, because I test drive everything and I am my number one client,
Yeah.
when I started deliberately using the word ways, I noticed that whenever it was how, I really was kind of in the mindset of there's one right way and good luck, sister, finding it. So then now my whole thing was I got to go find that
Yeah.
how to write a book versus writing the book,
Right.
right? But when I said, well, what are some ways I could do this? Then it was like, oh, well, I could just write a simple article. And
Right.
then from that article, I could start to then be like all excited about what I'm writing. And then another page, another page, another page, and there begins the book. Or
Yeah.
one way I could do it is I could, interview clients. Another way I could do it is, take all the transcripts from the podcast and see what I've said.
Yeah.
So it completely keeps the uptick of energy. I
Yeah.
become more creative.
Right.
There is so much more possibility. My potential expands.
Yeah.
So it's just powerful. It's such a simple, and in fact, I wrote an article, and this will be on my website for anyone who's interested. I wrote an article about I am tapped into this, the power of the word way, but
Yeah.
I did some research because there's so many philosophies and religions that also center around the word way. Taoists do, the Buddhists do, Christianity does, talking about the way.
Yeah.
And so I wrote an article just about, so this is going to link into why I know words are powerful. In our words, the energy, the use, the original conception of the
Yes.
words, there's something inherent that we know about the word.
Yeah.
But the way we've been taught and the way is just the way it goes, a lot of credence has not been given to that. And that's one of the things I'm excited to talk about and show
Love
people.
it. Yeah. So when a person, starts to, if they want to be more of an achiever, or they want to, how do they, what kind of words, how do they start to change their mindset and the way the words they use? How do they become more aware and what words should they really be focusing on?
Okay, so there's a few questions in that.
Yeah.
So, can you just ask me one of those questions? Like, can we kind of build on that whole
Yeah.
question? So would you start like with just the first thing I can answer?
Yes. So if you want to be an achiever, what
Yes.
words do you really need to focus on in order to become an achiever?
Okay, thank you. If you really want to become an achiever, which I would say everybody is, right? But they probably want to do more. Like, I want to see more from me, right?
Right.
Then I'm going to say this: know thyself. Know thyself. Write that down, because the word know, knowing, is mostly body. It's mostly felt.
Yes.
Okay, so that's the first thing, is know thyself. And that's why I shared the one-page manual. You have to know how you work. one. You have to know that's how it goes. And
Yeah.
you can even reverse engineer it and you can control it, but it's also always happening. So
Right.
that's one way to know yourself. The other way is listen to yourself. Listen to the inner dialogue, and your inner dialogue just is on repeat every day until you go in there and you manhandle it. You
Right.
dismantle some of it and you reconstruct some of it. Otherwise, everything I said today, I said yesterday and the day before and the day before and 3 months ago, I've been saying the same thing.
Right.
So you can listen to your inner dialogue, just, because you're like, okay, I know I say that a lot. I do say that a lot. Write it down. If you journal, if you want to turn on your recorder and just talk, ask people around you, what do you hear me say a lot? So
Yeah.
you can, or how do I talk? Imitate me. Imitate me talking about my job. That's a great one, or about my family, or about money, or about my goals, because you're going to hear some words on repeat.
Yeah.
So the first thing I would say is know thyself. And then the third thing about knowing is that knowing is in the body, not in the head.
Right.
When you say, I just know something's not right, that is full-blown body pushing a message up into your brain.
Yeah.
It's not the other way around.
Right.
And so, and that I hope will, for some people, many people are totally on this page, Stacey, but there are some people that I hope it will get them to be like, oh, I got to look down and I have to really respect, honor, and trust this big apparatus that is holding my head up. So that would be the first thing. And so even just the word knowing, would be a word, and that'd be the way to start.
Oh, I love it. Now, if someone is full of self-doubt and they're not achieving what they should be achieving because of the self-doubt, what are some words that they need to stay away from, and what are some words they need to focus on?
Great question. You already gave away a very powerful word, and powerful in the way you wouldn't want power to be on you. So
Right.
when people are doubting themselves, doubt destroys.
Yes.
It's in the Bible. Doubt destroys. So I became accustomed to telling my clients, whenever I would hear doubt, just
Yes.
in the way they spoke, or they were literally using the word doubt, I'd say, have
Yeah.
you ever handled a sledgehammer? Yes, some would say no, some would say. And I'm like, well, if you ever have, the biggest sledgehammer is probably the best thing to do. But imagine grabbing onto a sledgehammer and then using it like you use the word doubt. And what would a sledgehammer do? No matter what that sledgehammer met, a wall, a desk, a chair, a
Yeah.
window, it's going to destroy it. And
Right.
that is the moment you have a doubtful thought about a goal, a dream, the way something's going to go, whatever, you are, by doubting it, you are taking the first whack, and you will make a dent. You will. And then if you keep having that thought, you're literally destroying the very thing that you want to create.
Right.
So when people doubt, don't doubt. And that really is a thing. Get that out of your mind. Don't ever entertain doubting, because all you're doing is destroying.
Right.
Okay. Now, other words that have the same kind of effect that doubt has is, I already covered the one, which is when they're just pressing hard on and insisting on the how, on the how, on the how. The old way of goal setting or pursuing a goal is, well, what do you want? I want to buy a sailboat. I want to go to cooking school. I want to
Yeah.
have three children, whatever. Again, I want to find the man of my dreams, the woman of my dreams. The second thing to ask after they define the what is, now, how am I going to do that? And sometimes it works out. I'm not saying it never works out. I'm saying it doesn't have a fully empowering effect, and that's what I want. I want
Yes.
people to feel more of their inherent power
Right.
and expand and express their potential. So
Yeah.
instead of how, always ask after you've identified something that you would like, that you're interested in, that you want. The what of something is why.
Why?
Why do I want that? Now that tech plugs you into know thyself. Because you might, because right then, when you say why, you're going to know this is really mine. I really, really want to write a book. Or, oh, this is society's. I want to
Yeah.
write a book because everyone else is saying, write a book, write a book. Or
Yeah.
she wrote a book, he wrote a book, I should write a book. And it's not really mine.
Right.
Make sense?
Makes sense.
Yeah. So always ask why after you identify what your target is. Why do I want to aim, and why do I want to pursue that target?
Right.
And then you follow with, Well, what are some ways I can do that? And every single time, this is completely how I pursue anything, is when I get to the ways, I'll be like, okay, I could do that. I could do that. I could do that. I could do that. And it literally becomes a wave. Like now using surfer metaphor, I literally keep getting water underneath me, wave, to let me keep riding that out. And it's so exciting because it's like, oh my God, this is so doable. Look at all the different ways I can do this. And
Yeah.
it doesn't feel limiting. Well, here's your only way. Good luck, sister.
Right. Oh, so true. So true. Now, what made you so interested when about the power of words and how do we use them? That because you spent your entire career doing this, what in your life triggered you to have such a deep interest in this?
So it dates all the way back to when I was a little girl. When I was a little girl, and in fact, there's a recorded proof. My father came in, and I have a twin sister. And one night, he used to do this when we were really little, like 3 and 4. He'd bring in a tape recorder, and he'd like just ask us a few little cute little questions. And this was the equivalent of today's video camera for kids. And he'd ask us a few questions like about the day or whatever. And so he was sitting on my sister's bed. This is we're getting tucked in for night, and he's like asking my sister a few questions. And she was the quiet one, and I was not the quiet one. I was a verbal twin, and so I know he was also just probably trying to get her like kind of say something. And so in the background, you hear me pipe in. I'm like, I can say aluminum. I mean, just out of nowhere, I just said that, and like. Since a little early, I came in. I'm verbal. I'm auditory. I love words. I love speaking words. I love knowing what the definition is. I will research all the way as far as I can go to how did this word come about. I'm a natural linguist. I actually spent some time in Italy, and I learned the language. I had to quite quickly when I was there to survive this. The work I was doing, but people would literally be like, "Are you Roman?" And I'm like, "No." And they're like, "You literally speak a perfect Roman accent." So I'm just a word freak. I love them. And then I realized people were not talking like this, and they weren't noticing the things I noticed, in my coaching calls or among other people. Like, "Don't you get excited about this?" And then people are like, "No." "Do you get excited about bugs?" And I'm like, "No." "Okay, this is a personal passion. Got it." So it really is. It's something that I don't think it's something I personally, I've developed it now, but it's just that is part of my nature.
Is there like tools and techniques, like different steps people could do if they really want to start really changing themselves in a positive way? What, little daily exercises that they could do to really change their mindset and how they verbalize things, and so it makes them feel better, more confident, stronger, and makes them want to be more successful and not just say it, but they believe it. They start to really believe because now they're saying these powerful words and it's having an impact on their thoughts.
Yes. So I will say this now, and then I will also put this like in a little worksheet for your listeners, and that will be put on my website as well. But so here's what people can start to do now that are interested in, like, oh my gosh, I'm getting this, and I want to be deliberate and intentional about paying attention to how I speak, and then actually being smarter about the words that I use. And I'm very intentional with that word use. Use these words like they are tools, because they are, they're building blocks, and your words are shaping. They're shaping you, they're shaping the reality, and they're shaping whatever you create. So, one thing to do is just sit down with a blank piece of paper and your cup of coffee, tea, soda, water, energy drink, whatever. Start of the day, at lunchtime, whenever you're feeling low or bad, or you're feeling great. Whenever, and you just start to write words that feel good to you. Now, that not for some people, if they might immediately translate, oh, so I should write words like joy, bliss, love. Sure, you can write those, but you could also write warm chocolate chip cookies, custard pudding, Snicker bars, anything that makes you feel good, so that you get immediately. Not only do you get to see it happen, like, wow, when I'm actually deliberate and I'm speaking words of things that I enjoy, I love, how it's changing my biology, my chemistry, my emotional well-being, right here on the spot. So that right there will just tap you in and turn you on to, oh my God, words actually do immediately affect the state that I'm in.
I love that.
Yeah.
I also notice, like, a lot of times, people a lot of times don't think before they speak. And a lot of times words can be very hurtful. And a lot of people don't have thick skin, they have thin skin. And when you have people that use words that kind of demoralize somebody, is there a way, because you said love thyself, is there a way to protect yourself? Is it because you have to pay attention and really learn who you are, so then you build that strength within yourself so you don't get hurt when people say things? But it's very hard to do that sometimes. So is there a technique that you could use that will help you strengthen your own inner self so you don't get hurt when other people use words that are hurtful?
Yeah. So, and that's the second thing that, so that your question fits perfectly with the second offering here, which is second, first was write down words just to see, oh my gosh, this actually does. It creates energy. It's turning a crank. The second thing, and what speaks to answering your question about, well, what do you do when somebody's got harsh statements or words towards you? Even if they weren't towards you, you're just even in the room and you're seeing it done in somebody else, and you're like, I don't like this. So the second thing is to start thinking in what I call visual metaphor. Start putting things in picture. And so even somewhere along in the day, you can say, well, how do I feel right now? What does it feel like? And I, and also what you could call it an analogy, wait, a metaphor or simile or an analogy. I mean, they're all kind of similar, but it's like, well, right now what I feel like is I feel like, I mean, I've said this recently because of just my transition and all that. Like, I'm not always like this. I'm not always how I appear right now with my energy. So I'm talking about what I love, right? So of course. But there are days where I'm like, I feel like a wet washcloth, like a dirty, used, wet washcloth. And you could, right now, you can imagine what that feels like. Right? And maybe if you're like, oh, I know that feeling, Laura, but I would say this instead of that. I wouldn't say dirty, wet washcloth. I would say, I feel more like this. And it could be something totally different, like, an old stinky sneaker. That's what I feel like. But we get it. That's understanding. And understanding, that is this little side. Understanding is not intellectual. Understanding also is felt. Now I understand you. Because I feel you. I feel it, right? But so to put things in pictures. So you can one, you can just say, well, how do I feel right now? I feel like this, a dirty wet washcloth or a stinky sneaker, or I feel like a wilted flower, or I feel like a big a barrel full of tar, or like a glass of champagne. So, and then you can also say, well, how do I want to feel? Like to feel right now. I want to feel like like a quiver, like like a bow and arrow quiver. I want to feel strong and fast and forward. That will incite thoughts. Just doing that will incite, oh my gosh. So now I feel very focused, and now I feel like I want to get right on to something. And so that would be, and so now to answer your question, so if somebody's saying something derogatory or unkind, or it just feels insulting, doesn't feel pleasant, whatever somebody's saying, even if maybe it's like, oh, what they're saying, I need to hear, but let's just go with what they're saying is ridiculous. And it's then a few things is, and this goes to the pictures. I have done all of these. One, I imagine, I just go, like, when you roll up your window in a car, the, like, your window goes up. I imagine a very thick, like nearly 2 inch thick wall of plexiglass. And I imagine that it just goes up between me and that person. Then it actually just boxes me in, or it boxes them in, but it creates an absolute visual and visceral separation. They're hitting that by themselves, and anything they say bounces off that plexiglass and does not penetrate and absorb into me. So that's one thing I do. Another thing is I imagine, and this is very personal, so everyone has to find their own way, but this at least can inspire somebody to find their own way. But especially with my couples. And couples, will get into their little quarrels and arguments and that kind of stuff that they have a pattern of doing. And so I have shared this with all my couples, and they love it. They're like, I'm like, so your husband or your wife, this is how they'll get if that happens, right? So instead of trying to pry that behavior out of them or trying to change them, which you can't change another, what you could do, and this is just part of who they are, they're not always gonna be perfect. then just imagine they're having an allergic reaction.
Yeah.
And here's what I say. Have you ever in your whole life ever gotten mad and angry at either somebody, a stranger, or someone in your life when they have watery eyes or a runny nose, they're coughing or sneezing? Have you ever felt insulted and mad or angry or irritated because they were suffering allergies from a
Right.
cat or seasonal? No. So then I say, so then borrow that and place it right on top of here. And when you see them having their fit, just imagine, well, they're having an allergic reaction and there's nothing for me to do.
Yeah.
The most I can do is say, hey, would you like me to get you a glass of water, a Benadryl, or your EpiPen? Would you like me to do that and help you that
Yeah,
way? Anything to soothe you. And if they're like, and you can do that even quietly or whatever. And
yeah,
if
yeah.
they don't, then say, well, then all I can do is just let them have it and I'll just sit idly and wait until they're done. And
Right.
that right there is very empowering because most people otherwise would start to shrivel or want to fight back. But if you
Right.
think, what I'm not going to fight an allergy. Well,
Yeah.
that's stupid. What a jerk I would be. So I'm just gonna let
Right.
them have it. And then when they're done, I can say, okay, you all right now? Are you better now? That's a whole different way to handle your
Yeah.
partner in a tough situation.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I like that a lot. I like that a lot. Now, tell me about like some of the services that you provide for your clients.
So I work for groups, organizations. So whether that's in kind of business world or if it's private groups or whatever, but I really come and I speak to groups. I tailor everything. So based on what their objectives, their goals, their needs, what they want, in terms of this information, I will create an experience for them.
Yeah.
And I am currently writing a book
I love it.
on both my topics. And then I do give couples retrets.
Oh, I
So
love it.
I take those, yes, and there's one coming up in April, which I guess I could give you a link to that, so anyone who's
Yeah.
kind of interested in my couple's work. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm up to now, just kind of going along my merry way, figuring out anywhere I can share this.
I love it. And where can people find you?
My website, lauraburkeycoaching.com, is the best way to find me.
And also, if you had to take today's conversation, you really wanted to emphasize on some important facts, what would be some of the things that you'd like to emphasize?
Let's see. Well, there's three things I would want to emphasize. One is I said it already, but it's just so important, is to know thyself more now than ever before. We have moved beyond a period of time where we are to be followers.
Yes.
You really are entering into a new age where it is honor thyself, know thyself, and really be authentically, truly you. There's only one of you. So knowing thyself is so important. The second thing is understanding. I've been studying communications for since 1988. And
Yeah.
even prior to that, I was ex totally enthusiastic about communications because I'm just built that way.
Yeah.
Most people over my lifetime have said, well, communication, and I still hear it. Communication is key. Communication is most important. Communication is important, but it's not key.
Right.
Understanding is key. And
Right.
even for, I think you'd kind of mentioned it earlier, often people just immediately react. They'll immediately react to it, whatever the situation is. And it's
Yeah.
like, well, if you will now make your standard, your personal standard, I'm not going to say anything until I understand why I'm going to say this,
Yes.
and I'm not going to respond to anything until I have a good understanding of what this person is aiming to share with me. And remember what I just said, understanding is felt. It is not in the head. Knowing
Right.
is felt. It's not in the head.
Right.
And most people are living the definition of knowing and understanding as cerebral intellectual things.
Right.
And so to understand means I'm going to require that I feel what she's talking about.
Right.
And then when I do that, then I'm going to reiterate. So here's how it's landing on me. When I say landing, that means I'm feeling it, what you
Yeah.
said. And then the final thing is, and we didn't talk anything about this, but that clarity is so important.
Yes.
And you got clear, we were talking before we hit record, but you were talking, telling me your story, and you were talking about, when I asked why you had a podcast. You got to a point where it was very clear to you, it made sense. And for a while, you had resisted it. It wasn't really a thought you had, right? And you didn't immediately
Right.
jump on it, but it had come to you, right? This idea, oh, you should have a podcast, right? Isn't this,
Yeah.
I heard correctly? And so at some point, you decided, okay, I'm doing this. And anyone who's listening to this in their past and for their future, when you make a true decision, and a decision is also full-bodied. A choice is not. A choice is, am I going, you go and get some toothpaste. Am I going to get that brand or this brand this time? That's a choice.
Yeah.
A decision is, that's it. I'm losing this 100 pounds. I'm sick of it. That's it. No more of this kind of, treatment to, I'm going to go this way
Yes.
or anything. So it's full body. And when you make a decision, it will always deliver you to the outcome desired. It
Right.
will. We've done this our whole life, whether it's selling a bike, breaking up with somebody, starting a job, quitting a job. And
Yes.
so those would be the three things I really would like want people just to remember. Know
Right.
thyself, understanding is felt, and go communicate to understand, not for any other reason. To sound smart, look clever, to be entertaining. Communicate to understand and listen to understand
Yes.
and feel for the feeling of understanding. And then the last one is that clarity is your power.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And I would assume too, before we go, is that, we have a society that wants quick and fast results all the time. But this is, I would say, a slow process. You're going to see results little by little. It's not going to happen overnight. It's something that's going to take practice. It's something that's going to take time, and he's going to have to put effort into it. But the overall results are going to be very powerful, but it's going to take time.
I second that. But the encouraging news is that if you just pay attention, if you just pay attention, this is why, because when something feels good, you're going to keep doing it.
Yes.
When something feels bad, it's a little odd that like some people will still keep doing what feels bad.
Right. Yeah,
But
yeah.
if you just pay attention, wow, when I think this way, it feels good, and I want more of that. So
Yes.
it's not because it doesn't take the only effort this takes is remembering.
Yes.
It's all just remember. When I ask how I get anxious, when I think about just different ways, you breathe and I'm
Yeah.
excited and it's possible.
Yeah. I love it. Now tell everybody once again where they can find you on the website.
I am at www.lauraburkeycoaching.com, and that is Berkey like turkey with a B.
I love it. I love it. And are you on social networks also?
I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook. I'm not a huge social media. I mean, I've been on some other podcasts, and so there's video out there of me. But
Yeah.
yeah, there's something in me that just is not jumping in that pool big time. So I kind of
Right.
sit in the lounger in the back and like watch everybody else splashing around. And yeah.
I love it. Well, this has been amazing. I love the fact that, you bring up such an important factor because, like I mentioned, the words of wisdom are so powerful, and it could really change our lives, the way the words we use, the way we, the thought patterns that come through our head and how we react, and it changes our behavior, your thoughts, your behavior, your reactions, and your total outcome of how, who you become. And, if you have goals, sometimes we have to go back and we have to rephrase how we think, and how, the words we use, because they can, by using powerful words, it could actually get us to that point in life where we want to be. But we have to really be aware, like you said, know thyself, which is really powerful.
Yeah, the power is already there, and no one really has to learn something new. It's already there. So
Yeah.
it's paying attention. So, while books and all the stuff out, the resources out there to learn, yes, keep doing that because it's great to have that, but that's not where the power is.
Yes.
That just is to inspire you.
Yes.
Really is what I believe. It's to inspire and encourage you, but
Yes.
you already have everything you need, and
Right.
I believe it is inherent, and these words help us. And I think
Yes.
there was a match to humans. That's why we can speak. That there
Yeah.
was power in words, and us human beings, we have this. So yeah.
I love it. I love it. Well, thank you so much, Laura, for coming on the show today. This has been amazing. I really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you for all this great knowledge that you provided today.
You're welcome. Thanks, Stacey. I enjoyed it.
You have a great day.
You too.